All right, Joel, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Zayin. A lot to do today. We are going to be picking up on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Our shir this morning, our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month is in the Schus of Refuah Shleima for Tzvi Meir Halevi Ben Saraleh. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he together with Kol Choli Yisrael have a complete and enduring refuah. We also have a sponsorship for a week of learning, anonymous sponsorship as a Refuah Shleima for Shulamis Basusha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she together with Kol Choli Yisrael will have a complete and enduring refuah. And we have one last sponsor, Meir and Chaiba Weinheber, for dedicating the shir in honor of the architect of Chava's grandmother, Rivka Bas Mordechai Alevi Zichron Lebracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And I will say with that, let's begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Let's pick up. We left off at the Mishnah, actually, on La Midvava Medeis. 36b, the bottom Mishnah. Bechor shenismes eino v'shenikta yodo. V'shenishbara raglo. If you have a bechor that was blinded, in one of its eyes, or ultimately, again, it had part of its leg that was amputated, that was missing, cut off, v'shenishbara raglo, or one of its legs was broken. So we'll say, what's the common denominator here? A mum galui. This is all the kind of case where, you know, it's clear that it's a mum. It's clear that it's a mum, and it's clear that with a mum like this, ultimately the kohen would have the right to shecht the animal and to go ahead and consume it. Mum galui. So we'll say what the shayla of the Mishnah really is what do you have, what's the process for a bechor animal with a mum galui? To which the Gemara says, Areze yishchot api gimel b'nei akneses. So we'll say, so the Rabbanan Tanakam HaChamim say, you could shecht it, but you need to take it to a group of three people. But what kind of group of three people? This is actually, the Lashon is interesting. Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. Like three regular guys that you would find in shul. Right? Which means what? They don't have to be mumchim. You have to, obviously, it sounds like you have to create some type of based in situation, but they need not to be experts. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Yesham Chav Gimel. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't care if you have 23 people. Eino nishchat, 23 is the number of the small Sanhedrin. Eino nishchat ela alpi mumcha. Ultimately, again, Bukhara could only be shechted only if what? Only if there is a mumcha. So both say fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi is saying that even if it's a mum galui, you still need a mumcha. The Rabbanon is saying that no, if it's a mum galui, you need some type of committing body. So you'll need a bezdin. Who is that bezdin comprised of? It can be regular people, but you need some type of mechanism, but you do not require a mumcha. Rabbi Smalai, Rabbi Huda Nisi, Tarvai, Mishred, Rabbi Yoshua, and Levi Amri. Rabbi Smalai, Rabbi Yoshua, Levi Tarvai, Mishum, Rabbi Huda Nisi, Amri. We'll say, someone says, what do they say? Hataras Bechar Bechutz La'aretz Api Shlosha B'nei Aknesas. Let's remember again, the din of Bechar applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. So the halacha is that the permitting of a Bechar in Chutz La'aretz is Api Shlosha B'nei Aknesas. That apparently, in Chutz La'aretz, all you need are three regular people to be matir a mumin a bechor. Amar Rava, Rava says, one second, a very important qualification. Ubi mumin mufhakin. That's only true, I will say, if what? If it's an obvious mum. So if it's like the ones described in the Mishnah, the animal's eye is blinded, its leg is cut off. These are obvious mumin. So now the Rav is coming along and saying, the halach is teaching me that in Chutz La'aretz, all I need are three regular people to be matir that mum. So my kamashlan says the Gemara, okay, what's the chiddush? Well, it's in the Mishnah, Tanina. Bechor shenismes eino v'shenikta yodo v'shenishtabra raglo, harei ze yishchot api gimel b'nei akneses. We'll say this is the explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if an animal has a mum galui, all you require are three regular people to be able to permit it. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. I would have thought that maybe this Mishnah is only talking about Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is what requires, ultimately, again, you could use three regular people if it's an obvious mum. But in Chutz La'aretz, I would have thought, but in Chutz La'aretz, I would have thought that even for a mum that's not mufhak, a more complicated mum, you could also permit the animal based on what? Based on three regular people. In other words, we'll say, what the Gemara is saying is, the Havamina is, I would have thought that the standards for Chutz La'aretz are more lax than the standards for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, ultimately, again, you need a mumcha if you're not sure. But for a mum gadoli, three regular people, I would have thought that in Chutz La'aretz, you could use three people all the time for any type of bechor situation. To which the Gemara is v'haydi tani mufhakin, and the only reason it brings down the case of mufhak is lahodi'acha kocho de Rabbi Yossi, is to teach you the strength of the position of Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi argues in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yossi says that even in a case of a mum mufhak, an obvious mum, you still require the services of a mumcha. Kamashon, that's not the case. Kamashon, Rabbi Yossi, that the halacha for Eretz and Chutz La'aretz is the same. Namely, that if it is an obvious mum, that is an obvious mum kavua, whether you are in Chutz La'aretz, whether you are in Eretz Yisrael, all you need is a Beis Din comprised of three regular people to be matir the mum. Conversely, if it's a more complicated mum, you require the services of a mumcha, both in Eretz Yisrael as well as Chutz La'aretz. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yirmi, Bar Abba, Safek, Mishmei Dirav, Safek, Mishmei Dishol. So this is actually very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yirmi, Bar Abba, he said over a ruling, he wasn't sure if the ruling is said over in the name of Rav or Shmuel. What's the ruling? Gimel Matirin Es HaBachar B'makom She'in Mumcha. There are three people are necessary to go ahead and be Matir HaBachar in a situation where there's no Mumcha. Now this is very interesting. Ma Kamash Malon, what's the Chiddush here? Tanina, Harei Ze Yishchat Api Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. The Mishnah says you could shecht a bechor on the basis of three regular people. To which the Gemara says, "Well, here's the issue: imamas nisin hava mina b'malka mumcha." So we'll say, if it was just from the Mishnah, I would have thought that what? I would have thought that afilu b'malka mumcha, that you could use three people. Ultimately, again, even if there is a mumcha. Kamashlam b'makom she'in mumcha, in b'makom she'yesh mumcha lo. But we'll say, to be very clear, when does the use of the three people, ultimately, again, when does that kick in? That's only in the absence of a mumcha. If there's a mumcha, then of course the mumcha should be used at all times. Amar Rav Chiya bar Amram, Gimel Matir Nes HaBachar B'makom She'in Mumcha. So Rav Chiya bar Amram said as follows, three are Matir the Bachar, right, in a place where there is no mumcha. Gimel Matir Nes HaNeder B'makom She'in Chacham. Similarly, three people could be Matir Neder, right, could release someone from a vow in a place where there is no chacham. Remember again, a talmud chacham, a single talmud chacham, has the ability to be matir nedarim. If there is no talmud chacham, then what? Then halacha l'maaseh, you can go to a beis din of three. So gimel matir nes habachar b'makom she'en mumcha. Similarly, three people have the ability to be matir habachar in a place where there is no mumcha. Okay. To top of lamed zayin, lafuki mid Rabbi Yossi. Ultimately, again, this comes to go ahead and exclude the position of Rabbi Yossi. Because remember, again, what did Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah say? Rabbi Yossi said that you can never use three. Beis Din of three is never usable. You always require a mumcha. Therefore, the Braisa comes along to say, of course, where there is a mumcha, you should use a mumcha for everything. Of course. But in the absence of a mumcha, halacha lemaisa, at least if it's a mum shebagalui, a more obvious mum, a Beis Din of three will suffice. So the Gemara says, Shloshim Afirina Saneder, the Makom She'in Chacham. Three have the ability, a Beis Din of three have the ability to be Matir Neder in a place where there is no Chacham. La Afuki mid Rabbi Yehuda. Firstly, this comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya, Hafaras Nedarim Begimel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Mehem Chacham. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Huda's position is, yes, Hataras Nadarim could take place with three people. Rabbi Huda holds one of them must be a Talmud Chacham. So the Bryce is coming to exclude that position and say that Halacha Lamaisa, even if, Rabbi Huda says one of them has to be a Talmud Chacham. The Bryce is coming along to say that even if one of them is not a Talmud Chacham, ultimately, again, the Hatara works. The Makom Shein Chacham Kigon Man. Shabbos, when we say that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there has to be a Chacham over here, who constitutes a Chacham? Rav Nachman Kigon Ana. Rav Nachman said, I would be a good example. Meaning my level of knowledge and expertise is a good example as to what the type of Chacham that Rabbi Yehuda was describing. So the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echmeim Chacham, Michlad de Hanach Koldu. Nebo say, here's what's interesting. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that one of the three, this is for Ataras Nadarim, has to be a Chacham, what does that sound like? It sounds like the other two can what? Can be whatever. And we'll say, now obviously that can't be true, because if they're totally ignorant, then what use would they have on this Beis Din? Tosfos Gemara says, you're right. Amar Ravina, demistabri luhuva savar. They have to at least be on a level of comprehension that if you explain halachas to them, they could understand. So it's interesting. They need not possess the requisite knowledge. What they need is the capacity to understand. Good. Rabbi Yossi, I'm supposed to say, so again, you begin to see this fascinating dynamic that halacha l'maisa, the way we paskin, is that in the absence of a mumcha, three people can go ahead and be matir a mum shebegaloi, an obvious mum. So what was interesting also is we see clearly that the halacha requires a heter mechanism, right, for Bechar. Even if it looks like to you, your Bechar has an obvious mum, one of its eyes is blinded. Obvious, not going to regenerate. That's a mum kavua. You still can't check the Bechar based on that. You have to go through the heter process, which makes sense. We don't want people developing their own heterim. Let me say that again. We don't want people developing their own heterim. Why not? Because it's Maisim B'chol Yom, and people make egregious errors all of the time for a simple reason. If I develop my own heterim, I'm a nogeya b'davar, right? Often there's something that I want, so I'm developing my complicated and fascinating halachic constructs and hashgafic realities to accommodate my needs and my wishes. So in order to avoid that, Chazal said, you can't check that b'chol without going through a mechanism. Now, where there's a mumcha, the mumcha is your gateway. When there's no mumcha, so you'd say, if there's no mumcha, let's go. It's a mumcha begali. No, you still have to go through some type of heter mechanism before you could shecht the bechor. Good. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Yesh Sham Chav Gimel. So Rabbi Yossi said, it doesn't matter, even if you have 23 people, you cannot be matir a bechor without the services of a mumcha. Amarav Chananel, Amarav, in Haloch, Rabbi Yossi, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim. Right? If you have a machlokes, ultimately, again, a machlokes between the individual and the collective, the halacha always follows the collective. So Rabbi Yossi, over here in the Mishnah, remember again, the Tanakama is the Rabbanon, is the Rov. Right? Rabbi Yossi is a singular opinion. So of course, the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, this is amazing. Ma'od detema nimuko imo. This is actually quite beautiful. Rabbi Yossi, the Chazal say, is nimuko imo. Nimuko imo means Rabbi Yossi was always very precise in his rulings. And whatever ruling he would issue, he was always able to back it up with multiple proofs and sources. So Rabbi Yossi, whenever you see him quoted, is usually considered to be pretty authoritative. So I would have thought that because that's even here, even though Rabbi Yossi is the minority, perhaps the halacha should follow him. Kamash mala, no. So tifshot meha, dahach kamaisa mishmei dishmo. So we'll say, so first of all, we can analyze based on this. We'll say, if you remember again, Rabbi Huda said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, he wasn't sure if it was a statement of Rav or a statement of Shmuel, that gimel matirna sabachar b'makom shein mumcha, that three people have the ability to be matir abachar in the absence of a mumcha. But he wasn't sure if it was Rav or if it was Shmuel. To which the Gemara says, tifshot meha, now that we just established the halacha tazfar Rabbi Yossi, it would appear to be dahach kamaisa mishmei de Shmuel, that the previous statement was made in the name of mishmei de Shmuel, itmar, was made in the name of Shmuel. Why? Dimishmei de Rav, tarti lamali. Because if it was in the name of Rav, then why would Rav have to make two repetitive, identical statements? Chada michlad de chaver ta itmar. No, even if it's Rav, halacha lamaisa, it could just be that one statement was gleaned from the other. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha lamaisa, if it is a mum shebegalui, you could go ahead and be matrit even with a Beis Din of three people. Provided that what? There is no mumcha present. Whenever there is a mumcha present, you take your bechar to the mumcha. If there's no mumcha, machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama, the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi says, nope, no mumcha, you wait for a mumcha. Chachamim say, even if the absence of a mumcha with a mum galui, ultimately you can go ahead and utilize the services of a regular Beis Din. Says the Mishnah, Hashochet es habachar v'nodesh shlo hereu. So let's listen to this interesting case. If somebody shechts a bachar, and it turns, so obviously if you're shechting a bachar, it's because you found a mum. So what happens? It turns out, v'nodesh shlo hereu, turns out, we'll call him Ruvain. Ruvain never showed the bachar to a mumcha, or to the Beis Din. You know, he never went through the process. what's Rabbi say? So now here's there's more to this story. Reuven goes ahead. Reuven's the Ukom Reuven the Kohen. Right? Reuven the Kohen shechs the Bechar. He sells the meat. Because after all, again, Bechar meat is permitted to anyone. Right? Even in Akum we paskin, right? Permitted to everyone. He sells the meat. Now he sells the meat ultimately as slaughtered Bechar meat. So if you're buying slaughtered Bechar meat, what's the first question you ask the seller? Did you show it to the mumcha? So the seller says, so Reuven says, of course I did. So the purchaser has purchased the meat. It then turns out that what? Reuven lied. So as I said, obviously, again, this is a mekachtos, right? This is a flawed sale. And therefore, again, the purchasers have the right to a complete refund. This is even if what? Masha achlu achlu v'yachzir lahem adamim. So we'll say, watch this. Let's say Shimon bought $500 worth of meat from Reuven. And it turns out that Reuven lied. So now, but by the time the lie is discovered, what's happened? Shimon's consumed, he's had a good dinner, he's consumed $100 worth of meat. Nevertheless, the Mishnah paskins that Shimon is entitled to a full refund, on a complete refund. He gets all of his money back. And ultimately, again, Reuven the seller cannot go ahead and say, Reuven the seller cannot go ahead and say, well, you ate $100, I'll give you $400 back. He gets back the entire amount. Mashalo ochla basri cover. Whatever is not consumed ultimately should what? Should be buried. Because remember, again, it's Bechar meat. Therefore, it has some level of sanctity to it. V'china shochidas aparo machra. But know that she chafer. We'll say, this is not just by Bechar. Another interesting case. Someone shechts a para and sells it, and turns out that he sold a trefa. So same case, Reuven shechted it. He knew. Remember, this is all cases of intentional fraud. Reuven knew that he was selling a trefa. Shimon bought it, paid the money, found out, eats some of it also. Masha achlo achlo, whatever is eaten. Umasha lo achlo heim yachziru lo. Now we'll say in this case, whatever Shimon did not eat, he gives back to Reuven. V'hu yachzir lahem es hadamim. But I will say the operative piece over here is Reuven must give a total refund. This is very important. Whatever is left over, just like in the Bechar case, whatever is left over should be buried. In the Trefa case, whatever is left over, purchaser should return to the seller, but the purchaser is entitled ultimately to a full refund. So the Gemara says, Machrula of de Kochavim, interesting case. What happens if the purchaser in this case took the meat? So remember, same case, we'll say, Reuven sells Shimon a Trefa. Shimon discovers it's a Trefa. What does he do? He sells the meat to an akum, ohitilu leklavim, or he used it to feed his dogs. Yishamu deme trefa. Then Rabbi say, in that case, ultimately again, then Shimon has to go ahead. So ultimately, Reuven will be on the hook for paying Shimon will be on the hook, the purchaser, for paying the amount of trefa. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying over here is, if Shimon bought the animal thinking that it was kosher, found out that it was non-kosher. So the way we like this to work is give the animal back to the seller and get a full refund. Even if you consumed part of the animal and you did so under fraudulent circumstances, you return the animal back and get your money back. Let's say, again, Shimon finds out that it was a trefa. So what does he do? He sells it to someone. He sells it to an akum, or he gives it to his dog to eat. In that case, he got the complete benefit of a trefa, in which case, again, he would be liable to pay the seller for the value of a trefa. Now, he already paid for what? For a kosher animal, which obviously costs more than a trefa. So essentially what this means for our purposes is that the seller, Reuven, will have to refund to Shimon the buyer the value difference between a trefa and the kosher animal. Says the Gemara, turn around, so we'll say the Brisa says that somebody sells meat to his friend and it turns out that it's Bechar meat. Peros v'nimtzu'u tvalim. He sells fruit and it turns out that they're tevel. They were untithed. Yayin v'nimtzu yayin nesach. I saw my friend wine, and it turns out that it's yayin nesach. Masha achlu achlu v'yach sudam es adamim. Whatever is consumed is consumed, but the seller must give a full refund to the buyer. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, this is actually a very interesting distinction. Dvarim shanefesh katzabam yach sudam es adamim. It depends. If it turns out that what the purchaser consumed is something that people normally consider repulsive, then in achinami he is entitled to a full refund. But if it turns out that he consumed something that people don't consider repulsive, then the seller need not refund the money corresponding to that which has been consumed. Okay. And we'll say, what's an example of stuff that people find repulsive? Nevelus, trefus, shkatzim, viramosim. Makes sense, right? Makes sense. Nevelus, animal that died on its own. Nobody wants to eat that. Trefus, animal that was killed by another animal or has some type of internal defect. Shkatzim, viramosim, creepy, crawly things. And therefore, I will say, in those situations, if it turns out that what you ate was of one of these categories, even if you ate a significant amount of the item, you are entitled to a full refund. On the other hand, what are examples of things that people don't find repulsive? Bechoros, tvalim, yayin, nesach. So we'll say these are things that are usser, but a person is not repulsed by it. And therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say that in this case, you do not get reimbursed for the part that you consumed because you got benefit from it. Instead, you only get reimbursement corresponding to that which you did not consume. Which the Gemara says, really, Bechar, v'leimalei, my afsaratcha. So ultimately, again, in Bechar, why can't he respond to him? What did I cause you to lose out on? To which the Gemara says, if you look at Rashi, v'leimalei, Yisrael the Kohen. So ultimately, again, let the Yisrael say to the Kohen, my afsaratech, what did I cause you to lose out? Haloim, hayu habasra bi'atcha, hayaton kvura, sharim shalat, meaning even if halacha l'maisa, even if halacha l'maisa turns out that what? That the Yisrael ate a significant part of the Bechar, he could say back to the Kohen, you still owe me the full amount of money. Why? Because I didn't cause you a loss. Because had I not consumed the Bechar, what can you do with this Bechar? What can you do with it? Nothing. Because remember, again, the Bechar did not really have a mum. You shechted it illegally. So you would not have been able to do anything with this animal anyway. So the fact that I consumed it did not deprive you of any kind of money. To which the Gemara says, L'tzvich al-kigon dizabin le'yumako mumah. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not necessary. Rather, what happened over here? There was a mum. The Kohen just never had it inspected. And he sold the Yisrael the piece of meat with the mum on it. The area where the mum was. Where he could say, the Amrle ilav dachalt hava machzina le v'sharin ahelik Rabbi Yehuda. Had you not consumed that piece of meat, I could have shown the mum in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that mumen of a bechar can be examined even after the death of an animal. Tvalim. In the case of Tevel, most remember again, this is all Rav Shimon al-Lazar, who says that halacha lemaisa, whatever you consume, whatever the purchaser consumes, the buyer does not have to reimburse him for. So we're just trying to figure out why that is. Tevelim, in the case of Tevel, hava maknina leiva achilna. The reason why in Tevel, whatever the purchaser consumes, the seller doesn't have to reimburse it for is because technically speaking, that was a remediable situation. Yayin nesach, al yidei taroves, yayin nesach also could have been permitted through a mixture like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Disnan, yayin nesach shenaf olabar. If yayin nesach falls into a pit, meaning a pit of wine, right? Shenaf olabar, kulo aser bano. So we'll say the first opinion says the entire mixture is asher ba'anar. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Yimacher Kula LaOvdei Kochavim Chutz Midmei Yayin Nesach Shebo. You could sell the entire amount of the wine to an akum, with the exclusion ultimately again of the value of the Yayin Nesach which fell into it. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokis here, the way we paskin is not like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Halacha L'maisa, we paskin like the Chachamim in the Mishnah, namely that under these circumstances, the halacha is, if you sold something to someone as a kosher item, and it turns out that it is a non-kosher item, the person has the right to a full refund. It is a mekach tos, a fraudulent sale. And therefore the purchaser has a right to a complete refund, even if the purchaser has consumed even a significant part, ultimately, again, of that item that he purchased. The one exception will be, I will say, like the Nevela Trefa case, if I found out, I thought I was purchasing a kosher animal, and it turns out I purchased a non-kosher animal, and I figured, okay, I think fast, I sell it to my akum neighbor, so in that case over here, where I have already recouped some of my loss, in Achinami, the seller will only be obligated to go ahead and pay me the difference between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal. Beautiful. Hadron Alacho, Psalm of Goshen. Say Shkoyach. Al Elu Mumin Shofen Es HaBachar. These, I will say, is very interesting. We've been speaking about the Mumin HaBachar for such a long time. Now the Mishnah actually begins to discuss what type of Mumin, Getting into the actual examples of mumin. So these are the types of mumin for which you could shecht a bechor. Nifkama azna minachaschus, if the ear was pierced in the cartilage. Avaloha ar. So we'll say, but if the ear was only pierced in the earlobe, that's not a mum, for the simple reason that what? If it's pierced in the earlobe, it'll heal. The cartilage remains open. Nistika afa pishalachasra, if the ear was split, even though, again, it was not deficient. So we'll say, in this case, the ear is cut, so it's split, but there's no flesh missing. Nikva, so the Gemara says, that's also considered to be a type of mum over which you can shecht the bechor. Nikva melo kashina, if it was a hole, the size, we'll say kashina, the literal translation of this is vetch. It's a V-E-T-C-H. It's a small bean lentil-like item that's used for animal feed. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, if there's a hole in the, these are talking about ears. There's a hole in the ear, the size, that's the size of a kernel of the vetch, of the karshina. Oshi yavsha. Or if the ear dried out, that's also a mum. Ezu yavsha. What does it mean if it dried out? Kol shetinoke vena motzias tipas dam. If it's so dry that if you perforate it, if you pierce it, it doesn't bleed. Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam Omer, Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam says, yavsha shetehe nefrechas. Yavsha drying out means that if you touch it, it crumbles. Says the Gemara, how do we know that all of these other items mentioned in the Mishnah are really mumin? Right? How do we know? After all, the Pasuk just says, Piseach v'iverksiv. Mostly when speaking about, ultimately again, the din of mumin, the din of Bechar, right? So the Torah speaks about Piseach o iver. Right? It says that if it's crippled, or ultimately, again, it's blind. So how do you know that comes to include these other types of mumin as well? To which the Gemara says, "Ksivnami kiye bomum," because the pasuk also says a more general lashon of kiye bomum. If there'll be a mum in the animal, ve'ima kiye bomum klal piseach o iver prat. So maybe I should say kiye bomum is a klal, piseach and iver is a prat. Klalu prat ve'im bichlal elamashe beprat. But so when you have a klalu prat, the klal is defined by the prat. So piseach v'iver in midiachrini lo. Ultimately, maybe the klal prat teaches me it's only if the animal is handicapped, is somehow crippled, right? Or ultimately, again, blind. That's when it's a mum. But anything else, not. To which the Amar says, kol mum ra chazar v'kalal. There's another klal. Kol mum ra, any bad mum. Klalu pratu klal iat adon elakeina prat. So we also have a klalu pratu klal, and therefore again, the prat defines, doesn't limit the klal, but defines the klal. Maha prat mefurash mumin shebagoloi ve'enon chozrin, just like the prat piseach and diver, means the type of mum that is obvious, that is visible, and does not heal, does not regenerate. Af kol mumin shebagoloi ve'enon chozrin. So too, it comes to include any type of mum apparent, that is visible, right, and does not heal, does not regenerate. Ve'ema marapat mufurash mumin shebagoloi ubuta mimelachto ve'ino chozer. Just like the prat piseach and iver is a type of mum that really has three criteria. Number one, it's visible. Number two, it doesn't heal. And number three, it prevents the animal from doing work. Afkom mumin shebagoloi ubuta mimelachto ve'ino chozer. So too, again, in order for a mum to be problematic, it has to satisfy these three criteria: visible, doesn't heal, and prevents the animal from working. If that's the case, alama tinan, nifkama azna min achaschus v'lo min ha'or. So ultimately, again, if that's the case, then why does the Mishnah include a piercing from the cartilage, right? Remember, again, the cartilage is something that although it is visible and it does not heal, at the end of the day, it does not prevent the animal from working. To which the Gemara says, kol mumra ribuyahu. The phrase kol mumra is a ribuy. It comes to include many other types of mumin. Ihachi, if that's the case, mumin shebeseser nami. If that's the case, maybe kol mumra should come to include even mumin that what? That are not visible. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, alama tanan, chutin achitzonios shenifgamu v'shenigmamu. If you have the outer gums of the animal that were cut, v'apanimios shene'ekru, or the inner gums which were detached, amud beis. So the Gemara says, "Nekru in nifkamu v'nigmulo." By the inner gums, it's only if they've been detached that it's a mum, but not if they've been cut. To which the Gemara says, why? But not mum ra. So we'll say, so that would seem to indicate why. We saw this actually in yesterday's daf. Because unless the inner gums are detached, they're not a visible mum. So you see from here that's what? That you require not just the mum, but a visible mum as well. To which the Gemara says, no. But not mum ra v'leka. That's not the case there. The case over there we'll say is you need it to be a mum ra. Mum ra means it must be something significant. Inner gums, which are cut, apparently may be uncomfortable for the animal, but are not considered to be significant. Ihaki, if that's the case, mum overnami. So we'll say, if that's the case, that halacha lemaisa, kol mum, that phrase kol mum is a ribui, then why does it only include permanent movement? Maybe it should also include a mum over. Alamatnan, then why did we learn? Velomina ar, alamatnan, velomina ar, mum over. To which the Gemara says, and if the animal is injured on the hide, on its flesh, ultimately this is not the type of disqualifying mum, because ultimately, again, it's a mum over, it heals, to which the Gemara says, svarahu. I'll tell you why. There's a svara. It's logical that a mum over, that a mum that is going to heal, should not count for the bachar. Why? Hashta mifrak lo parkina niluya, mishchat shachatina niluya. I will say, remember again, for a mum over, you would not be able to go ahead and redeem a sacrificial animal. If a sacrificial animal had a mum over, that would not go ahead and allow you to redeem it. So if you can't redeem it, you can't redeem a sacrificial animal, therefore it makes sense that a mum over would not work for Bechar as well. To which the verse says, if the Bible says that any behemoth tmeo that you shall not offer up as a carbon to Hashem, but bali mumen akasam medaber. Torah speaking about a bal mum. The Gemara says, bali mumen akasam medaber. I'm sorry, akasam medaber. Atorn bali mumen sheniftu hakasam medaber. O eino ella be behemoth tmeo mamish. So you're going to say it refers to bali mumen, animal which is a bal mum, which is going to be redeemed. Or maybe you'll say it refers to a real behemoth tmeo. Kishu omer. That can't be, because when the Pasuk later on says Behema Tameya, that's talking about the fact that a Behema Tameya cannot be offered up as a carbon. Therefore, again, I will say in this context, V'im kol Behema Tameya, what does it refer to? Hamani Mekayim, Asher lo yakrivu mimenu, Havi Omer, Elu Ba'ali Mumin Sheniftu. So this pasuk comes to refer to an animal which is a bal mum, which is redeemed, which ultimately tells me, and that what? That cannot be offered. Yochol yiftu al mum over. I might have thought that maybe a sacrificial animal could be redeemed, even if it has a mum over, a mum that will heal. Talmud lomar, asher lo yakrivu mimenu karban lashem. Therefore, also the pasuk says, that is not offered of it a karban to Hashem. Misha in a kreva kol ikar. So we'll say, what do we see from here? What type of animal ultimately, again, is precluded from sacrificial service? An animal that can never be offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of animal is that? A mum kavua. Yotza sazu she'ino kreva hayom ela lemachar. This comes to exclude what type of animal? An animal which can't be offered today, but what? Can be offered tomorrow. So if Rabbi say, so we see from there that halacha lemaisa, an animal with a mum over is not precluded from being a sacrificial animal. And we assume that if it's not precluded from being a sacrificial animal, it certainly would not be grounds to allow for shechita of the bechar either. Good. Ibaisin, Rabbi say, the other possibility is, im kein pisech v'iver lamali. If that's the case, ultimately, again, Rabbi say, meaning here the Gemara is saying, if that's the case that you could shecht even on a mum over, if you could check on any kind of mum, even one that will heal, why would the Torah specifically mention Piseach and Iver, which are permanent mum? Good. Nistaka afa pishlon chasra. So we'll say the next case in the Mishnah was that if the ear of the Bechor is split, even though it's not deficient. So we'll say in this case over here, the mass of the ear is there. It's just, it's cut. It's split. That's also a mum that you could check the Bechor based on. Tan Rabbanan. Hasadak kol shehu. So ultimately, again, the sadak, the split, right, if it's cut, any amount will allow for shechita. Hapigima, but if it's like notched, right, if it's a pigima, bein bidei adam, bein bidei shamayim. Ultimately, again, you could go ahead and shech the bechar based on it, whether this pigima happened at the hands of man, or the animal was just naturally born that way, right? Or some other act, a direct act of man caused this. Michlal, the sadak bidei shamayim lo, is that telling me that again, I will say that the animal's ear was cut, not bidei adam, but bidei shamayim, that it would not be grounds for shechita? Ela sadak upegima bein bidei shamayim bein bidei adam. Ultimately, says the Gemara, you're right. Rather, whether the animal's ear is split or whether it is notched, ultimately, again, whether this happens, quote-unquote, naturally, or it happens through someone hurting the animal, halacha l'maisa, you could check the bechar based on this. V'kama shir pegima. Nabo say, so, Scott, I understand. What's the shir for being notched? So what does that mean? K'dei shetach gar ba'at sipor. Nabo say, very interesting. It has to be noticeable enough that if you were to run your finger over the ear of the animal, your finger would stop. Right, your finger would get caught by the nut, by the notch. Right, that if you're running it along, you know, it kind of sounds like what? Remember again, like by chulin, like the way you check the shechita knife, right? That what's considered to be a nick in the knife, if when you run your finger stops, it gets stuck. So same thing by the notch in the ear of the animal. Good. Nikva ma. So also remember again, the Mishnah then said, nikva male karshina. That if there's a hole in the ear of the animal, the size of a karshina, the size of this vetch, right, this vetch bean, this vetch lentil, ultimately, again, that allows you to shech the bechar. Tan rabbanon, kamene kivas ha'ozen. How big must the hole in the ear be in order for it to be considered a mum that would allow for shechita of the bechar animal? Mole karshina, the size of the karshina. That's what we said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Becha Adasha. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it has to be bigger. It's an Adasha. We'll say Adasha also translated as a lentil, but apparently Adasha is a larger lentil than the Karshino. Ve'ezuhi Yevesha. What's the definition of a dried up ear? Shintinakev ve'inamotziya tipas dam. If when you pierce it, it does not bleed. Apparently, there are times where if you pierce it, it will not bleed. Hey, so the Gemara says, it's a Shakespeare joke. Okay. Says the Gemara. Good. So paying such close attention to the Gemara. Incredible. Says the Gemara. Yosef Yosef Shulam says, Yevesha Kadeshitini Frechas. What does Yevesha mean? Yevesha means ultimately again that it's so dry that it crumbles. So Tana, so we'll say Tana, Krovin Divrei and Liyosh Shavin. So ultimately in the Braisa then says, their words are very close to being the same. Divrehem deman. Whose words are we talking about? Ilema de Tanakam of Rabbi Yosef ben Amashulam. If you want to say that it's the Tanakam of Rabbi Yosef ben Amashulam, well, that's not true. Why? Because Rabbi Osai, Tuva Ika. Apparently, there is a significant difference between a Chadasha, Adasha, and the Karshina. The vetch lentil and a regular lentil, there's a significant amount of difference between them. Ella, the Tanakam of Yosef ben Yehuda. But rather, again, it must be the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda. Because the Gemara says, Ka'adoshin, Betzir Ka'adoshamilo. So you're telling me then that really, that Rabbi Yosi holds, that it's Adosha is the size of a hole, for in the ear of the Bechar, to make it a mum, and less than that does not work. And I was about to say, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, a hole that is the size of less than an Adosha, is not considered to be a hole. Essentially, it'll be bottle. The ear is still considered to be closed. Is that really true or minhi? But the Gemara will ask Akasha, Marzea, Eini Ela Marzea. Bosa, say, interestingly enough, the Gemara is going to bring this raya here from the halachos of an Eved. So Bosa, say, if the Eved chooses not to leave, he's an Eved Ivri, he chooses not to leave, he wants to stay with his master, so what's the halacha? We pierce his ear. So what do you pierce his ear? What Torah says? Marzea. So Eini Ela Marzea. So Marzea means like the chisel, right? So how do I know that's not dafka? I mean, you could pierce his ear with any sharp item. Talmud Lomar v'lakachta kol davash nilkach biyad Rabbi Yosi. So because the pasuk v'lakachta, you will take it. Anything that can be taken by hand is fit to be used to pierce the Eved's ear. Rabbi Omer Rabbi says Marzea. Has to be like a Marzea. Ma Marzea, miyuchat shama teches. Just like a Marzea is unique in that what? It is made of metal. Af kol shu ma teches. Ultimately, anything that is made of metal can be used to pierce the ear of the Eved. The Katani Sefer. Yet, look at the end of that Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yudan Rabbi. Amar Rabbi Yudan Barabi. Hayadorish. Keshein Rotsin. Ein Rotsin Ela Bamilas. When they would go ahead and pierce the ear of the Eved, they would only pierce the lobe. The Chum say, Ein Eved Ivri Koin Yirtza. The Chum on the other hand would say, an Eved Ivri who is a Koin cannot be pierced. Why? Because if he's pierced, he'll become Baal Mum. But 1 second. Then Torah Mamilas are Yerotzin. But if you want to say that they used to pierce the lobe, Heich Eved Koin Nase Baal Mum, then why would an Eved Koin become Baal Mum? We said in the Mishnah that what? A piercing of the lobe is not a Mum. Why? Why? Because it closes up. Ha Ein Rotzin Ela Begovish Ozen. Therefore, the Chachamim say it's not true. I'm sorry, rather again, the Gemara says not true, rather they must have pierced them in the cartilage. That's why the Chachamim say an Eved Kohen cannot be pierced because it'll make him into a Baal Mum. Amar Rav Katina, Rav Katina, Kash Tzvos. So remember again, what was the point of this entire Braisa? The point of this entire Braisa is one of the items that is said that you could use for the piercing of the ear of the Kohen is a needle. Now, we'll say a needle only makes a hole the size of a needle, which is very small, which is going to be smaller than a karshina, smaller than an adasha, and yet we see that such a hole is considered to be significant, right? That's the idea over here. The Eved Ivri has to be pierced. Pierced means there has to be a hole. It can't be whole with a W. There has to be a hole, H-O-L-E, right? So therefore, again, halacha l'maaseh, we see that a hole made with a needle is still significant. So you see even a small hole is considered to be deficient. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Amar Chana bar Katina lo kashya, kan lishchot, kan lifsol. Ultimately, again, the Gemara makes a distinction. Look at Rashi, kan lishchot, kan lifsol. Yesh mumen harbi bebechar shepostim oso likar v'gam mizbeach. Both say there are many different types of psulim that prevent an animal from being offered up on the mizbeach. So if the animal has a hole in its ear, the size of a needle, that will prevent it from being offered up on the mizbeach. On the other hand, there's a different set of mumin that allow it to be shechted. This is actually quite a fascinating distinction. So there are some mumin which prevent you from offering the bechor as a karban. Even if it has a hole the size of a needle, you can't offer it up as a karban. But that's not the same type of mum that what? Which will give you the license to go ahead and shecht it. In order to shecht it, you require a hole at least, that's a machlokes, either the size of a karshina or adasha, but something larger, ultimately, again, than the needle hole. All right, so we'll stop over here. I'll share with you a short idea on the parsha.